Well, good morning, church family. It is a joy to be with you once again. As you guys have heard, and as we've mentioned, we've had a journey, and God was with us in that journey as well. I also, last Sabbath, I was actually in Patterson, so that's why I wasn't able to be here with you guys, but I am happy to be here this Sabbath. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you so much for the blessing of a church family. Thank you so much for the Sabbath in which you allow us to bring to you all the worries that we have, and actually be able to rest, to recoup our energies during this hardship, during the hardship of this sinful world. I pray that you help us open our minds, that you tug at our hearts, and see what the Holy Spirit wants to say to our lives today, Lord. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, looking at the journey that we've had, I would say a couple of things. As the staff got together, parents, the club, and as our director planned this just beautiful itinerary of the journey. You know, what was going to happen, time on the road, all the stops necessary. Everything was well planned. Everything was well planned. And as we took off, we got delayed. And it became, I don't know what could have been going through our director's mind as time kept ticking. And seeing his perfect itinerary, the perfect plan, started to be harder and harder to catch. And as time went on, we came to the realization that we needed to compromise. And that became the journey to the destination. Compromise this perfect plan that we had. And it's interesting because as we look at the scriptures, we notice a similar trend. God had this ideal journey for his people. He had this ideal journey perhaps in certain individuals. But because of certain situations, he too had to compromise his perfect plan. Let's go to Exodus 13, where the scripture reading by Gianna, thank you so much, was read. So let's go to Exodus 13. And as God had planned this special journey, as God had planned this ideal nation of his, he says in Exodus 13, verse 1 and 2, it says, I hear some pages turning, I'll just pause for a little bit. In Exodus 13, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Consecrate, set yourself apart. Have a certain chosen individuals. Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast. It is mine.'" God wanted to have the firstborn of every family member be set apart for God. You know, as the narrative keeps going, you know, it's introduced, the first thing that I used to think it was just in the New Testament, but this idea that God had for his people to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. You see, the ideal plan for the people of Israel was not to have just one tribe be the ones that represented Christ, the ones that took the sinner to the altar, intentionally to Jesus. He wanted to have every family, every firstborn bring his family to Jesus. He wanted to have every family member or every family represented in this priesthood that he had. He wanted to have a kingdom of priests. That was one of the ideals, one of the visions, one of the goals that God had for his people. To be a kingdom of priests. And as we continue going with the narrative, let's go to Exodus 32. Let's go to Exodus 32. Unfortunately, it didn't go as planned. And it says in Exodus 32, verse 1. Are you with me? Amen. Exodus 32, verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed, when the people felt like they were waiting too much for Moses, you know, that's automatically a big concern. Because similar to our culture, you know, sometimes Solomon was 100% right. There's nothing new under the sun. The human nature is a nature of also of being impatient. You know, we say, oh, our culture is because of social media. We get the internet, you know, fast. I remember, I'm starting to say these things. I remember back in the day, when we had to, for like a 3-minute video, we had to actually wait around 30 minutes for it to download. And obviously we couldn't use our phones during that, our house phones during that time because we used dial-up. We want to believe we were a little bit more patient than the time now where if we're waiting for a 3-minute video and we're having to wait 5-10 seconds, we're like, oh, my internet's slow. But it's nothing new under the sun. We as human beings have always been impatient. And there's no difference here. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed, they did not wait for God. They were going to, because they saw that it delayed, something was going on. Instead of waiting, they took action. Coming down, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, this is a narrative that they gathered together to Aaron. Now it seems here that they were just okay. Let's come together and let's go talk to Aaron. But the picture is a little bit more violent than what it seems. A mob gathered together because they were impatient, because they wanted some action, because they were insecure. A mob gathered together to Aaron and say, come make us gods that should go before us. Why? Because they got used to, since exiting Egypt, they got used to a cloud, a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire going before them. Even though God told them, do not have any image of me, they still were able to witness the presence of God. And now the presence of God wasn't with them. It was in the mountain. And the leader that took them out of Egypt was also in the mountain. They're left in the wilderness without feeling any protection, without having their leader. They were left alone. And instead of waiting, they wanted action. They wanted this representation of God. So just to make sure it's clear, they did not want to worship an idol, but that's all they knew. So they wanted to build an idol to worship God. Does that make sense? Still wrong. But they wanted to worship God. The God that went before us. They wanted to worship that God that they saw in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And they were wondering where Moses had gone. Because it's been 40 days. And they weren't sure if Moses got lost in the cloud, in the mountain full of cloud, or if he perished in the fire that they saw. But they were panicking. And instead of waiting, They took action. It's not the first time something like this happens. It happened with Saul. And it is interesting to think, you know, that Moses was talking to God. He was talking to God for 40 days. And he had to stop. Why? Okay. We'll get there. So here they gathered together, and they went to Aaron, and Aaron, I'm pretty sure, was a little panicked as well. It's like, oh, what's gonna happen? These people seem to be gathering together as a mob, and they want me to do something. So what did Aaron say? Aaron said to them in verse 2, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." It's interesting, as I was trying to do more study on this narrative, it is one of the commentaries pointed out that it is common that the ones that are slaves were the ones that had earrings. So here, obviously, who were the slaves here? All of them. They used to all be slaves. So they all had earrings. And perhaps when they left, that would have been to certain individuals, the only thing of value that they had left. And Aaron instead of being able to stand strong in what he believed, he was like, okay, maybe if I tell them to give me what they have of value, they're gonna say no, and the crowd's gonna disperse. So Aaron told him, "Give me your earrings." And in verse 3, what did the people do? All the people broke off their golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. Oh, that plan did not work. So what was Aaron going to do now? In verse 4, it says, "And he received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it and engraved an engraving tool, and made a golden calf. Then they said, "This is our God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is the feast to the Lord." So this whole time, they were trying to worship whom? God, the Lord, the God that brought them out of Egypt. But they were trying to worship him their own way. And as Moses was in the presence of God, you know, as soon as I reach a certain stability in my personal life, the schedule changes. You know, I used to enjoy my times in the morning. The kid came, and I was like, "Oh man, what's gonna happen? I need to reschedule my life." I was getting there. Then the other kid came. Oh man, how am I gonna do this? And now that I'm figuring things out, my first one's going to school. So when I used to think, "Oh, I'll wake up at 6, I should have enough time." Now my wife wakes him up at 6. To make sure he has some time to get ready, to eat breakfast, and to go drop him off. And I'm like, "Oh man, I have to wake up even earlier." And you know, and some people, it's okay, but I'll be honest with you guys. I enjoy my sleep. I really enjoy my sleep. So now I have to sacrifice to have a relationship with God. And there are times where perhaps I didn't wake up as early as I should. And I'm here reading my Bible, and I hear the voice of my child, and I know my time has come to an end. I know it's going to be continued in what I was studying. And I could imagine, I mean, maybe I could, I'm trying to imagine how it must have been for Moses to be in the presence of God for 40 days. They're just talking. He probably doesn't even feel the fact that it's been 40 days. He's just enjoying it. And then in verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. Exodus 32, verse 7. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down. For your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Why did they have to stop their conversation? Because of the people. Because of the children of Israel. The time with the Lord has come to an end. Not because the Lord wanted to, but because there was an issue that needed to come to be taken care of. So Moses is like, okay, well, what's going on? At this point, did Moses know what was going on at the bottom of the mountain? He had no idea. But the Lord told him, look, they have defiled themselves. They've gone to idolatry, and I will start again with you. And Moses, without even thinking or without even really knowing what was going down, he started to intercede for his people. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that is the spirit that we need nowadays. The spirit of Moses, the spirit of intercession. The spirit that it doesn't matter what's going on, I will have your back. You know, I growing up, you know, I remember there's a certain mentality when I was in part of the football team in my school, in my high school, and it's like it doesn't matter what's going on with your teammate, you always back them up. And it was that kind of mentality that, you know, we were told, you know, not just in the game but out of the game as well, this is your brother, you need to have his back. You know, in the world has it, to a certain extent, has it figured out sometimes. You know, we could even look at the political world. Whoever is in their party will have your back. Doesn't matter what. You know, and as brothers and sisters, sometimes, could I be honest with you guys? We don't have each other's back. And we need to have that spirit of Moses. That doesn't matter what's going on, I'll back you. I will pray for you. I'll intercede for you. I'll be there for you, no matter what. And that's what Moses was telling, was telling God. You know, as the great Eleanor Roosevelt, I really like a lot of the stuff that she says. There's one quote that I really appreciate, especially as a Christian. It says, "We are afraid to care too much for fear that the other person does not care at all." Let me repeat it. We are afraid to care too much for fear that the other person does not care at all. And how true is that? It hurts. It hurts when I do something, when I sacrifice something, and the other person doesn't appreciate it. It hurts. But it's our Christian duty to care. The seed is planted, and it will happen. So Moses finally comes down from the mountain. He sees what's going on. And what a contrast it must have been for Moses from being in the mountaintop experience to what's going on here. And it says in verse 22, he confronts Aaron. And it's quite an amusing narrative here. It says, "So Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that they go before us. As for Moses, this man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know. We do not know what has become of him. In verse 24, and I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Who was Aaron blaming here? The people. It's his fault too. What does this remind you of? Adam and Eve, that's right. They just kept blaming other people. You know, what a contrast between Aaron and Moses. Moses, who didn't know what was going on, but was doing everything possible to save them. And Aaron, that at the moment of danger, started to blame them. What a contrast in spirit. What a contrast in character. And in verse 26, Moses stood at the entrance of the camp. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of whom? The Levites gathered themselves together to him. As we continue reading, the Lord once again renews a covenant. Why does he have to renew a covenant? Because the previous one was broken. The previous plan, they failed. So he had to compromise once more to try to come up with a new plan in this journey with his people. You know, I wonder how many times have I let God compromise the ideal plan he had for my life. But he's still there. He's still there trying to come up with the best plan from the trajectory that perhaps we are taking. So he renews a covenant with his people. And now, unfortunately, he cannot have this ideal plan for his people, a kingdom of priests. The priests become the Levites. Not a representative from every single family. The priests become the Levites. And even at the beginning with Adam and Eve, God had a plan, an ideal, had to compromise. With Abraham, he had a plan. He had an ideal, a trajectory to go to, but he had to compromise because of what happened with Ishmael. Once again, God had to compromise with the promise. He did a lot of compromises with his people in Israel. He had to compromise with the kings. It wasn't God's idea to have a king. But he compromised. You know, when people say that they don't see a God of love in the Old Testament, I don't know what they're talking about. Because time and time again, the Lord does not give up. He continues trying to work with his people, continues to try to display that love that he has for them. But here we are now. And I have good news for you. Let's go to, we're just going to go to two more verses. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. In the course of history, God has done everything possible for his people, and he has come up with a new plan, a new ideal for you and me. 1 Peter 2:9. Are you with me? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is the job of the priest? The job of the priest is to take the sinner to the altar, to take the sinner to the cross. He has a new ideal for you and me, to be that priest, to take sinners to the cross, to Jesus. How? By praising him who called us out of darkness. By showing how God has saved us. Let's go to one more verse. Let's go to Revelation 5:10. Let's go to Revelation 5:10. Are you guys with me? And it says in Revelation 5:10, and you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth forever. A kingdom of priests once again. I don't know if Solomon knew how profound his words were when it says that there's nothing new under the sun. God's plan for you and me is for us to be a kingdom of priests, a people, a nation that brings sinners to Jesus through our testimony, showing them what God has done for us. Let me ask you something. Has God done something great in your life? Then we have a testimony. We are able to bring people. We are able to be priests. As for me, I'm trying to see how I could stop having God to do compromises for me. Amen? Allow his plan to continue going forward. And let's allow God to work through us to bring more people to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, oh Heavenly Father, how great is your mercy and grace upon us, Lord, that after we turn to the left and to the right, you do everything possible to bring us back to you, even if it is compromising the plan that you had for our lives. But I praise your name, Lord, that you have not left us in darkness. Perhaps the darkness that we have chosen. But you bring us back to the light. Give us a testimony. And equip us for some reason to bring people to you. Lord, we are sinners. But in your eyes, you make us your children. I pray that we could truly be like you, Lord. Just bringing people to Jesus, bringing people to the Father. Just letting them know what you have done in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we accept this call. That we accept your call as our God. And that we could see every step of the way how much you care and love us, Lord. Help us worship you with our hearts, with our minds, with our actions. And help us be truly that light, that salt that seasons this dreadful world. Pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.